Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who wants to know, what did Scottie Pippen ever do to Tiffany? I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast Wednesday night, BB Comics night. And we're here to talk about a veto and set the stage for tomorrow's double eviction, baby, as we welcome in another great panel to talk here 2 weeks until the BB 23 finale on September 29th. First, a man who is having a much needed break from the live feeds at the moment. Here is Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rob, and I just want to say about your intro there. It's just,
congratulations, because you're doing amazing, sweetie.
You just did such a
Am
great
I?
Job.
Yeah, can I do it over? Can I have a do over?
I don't think you need to. You're doing amazing, sweetie.
Okay. Let me try it. Let me try one again. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Let's bring in a man who's my superhero. It's Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
Shut the f up, Kylan.
No. Okay. Yes. Taryn, feeds are down at this hour.
Feeds are down, and they are going to continue to be down until after the West Coast airing of tomorrow night's episode.
Some would say the feeds have been down all week.
That would not be an incorrect statement either, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this episode was on, actually. Was there an episode?
Yeah. Okay. I guess we'll talk about everything that's going on here tonight. Also, very excited to have back with us, of course, host of the Married at First Sight Rehapup, Asia Welch is here. Asia, how are you?
Hey, Rob, I'm doing fine. And I think we're going to do okay through this podcast. But, you know, you and I are color coordinated, and then Taryn yes. and Brian are color coordinated or coordinated in some form or fashion. So I think they're going to be our arch enemies during this podcast. Yes. So yes. Just be prepared.
Okay. Final two deal. Okay.
Yes.
I'm going to be like, you're the best player. I'm going to make sure mm-hmm. that, you know, gotta take you to there.
It only makes sense.
All right. Asia, good to have you back. And joining us for the first time I'm not sure if we've ever done a BB recap with this man. I know we've certainly talked to his co-host on the Challenge Rehapup about Big Brother. Here is great Brian Cohen is here. Brian, how are you?
I'm good. I know I was introduced third, but I just don't want people to think I'm a comp threat. So people still want to take me to the end. I don't want to raise my target level too much.
Yeah, it's okay. That would only be if you came in second.
Right.
You came
so I in think second I'm still in good shape, but I can still be brought to the end. I'm doing well.
Yes.
I'm
good. Brian, what's new?
Not much. I mean, I'm enjoying the Challenge minor league season, scouting out the prospects, mm-hmm. seeing who's going to be jumping on board Challenge 38. So enjoying that, getting yes. the scouting reports out.
Yes. Brian, how do you think that Xavier would do if he was in the world of One Tree Hill?
I mean, he would do pretty well. He would probably battle out with Nathan for a top spot on the One Tree Hill Ravens. He'd be going for that scholarship. I think he'd do pretty well.
Okay. All right. Brian, nice to have you here with us. Of course, we'll take your questions if you have them. RobsWebsite.com/BB. Questions, and we'll get to those later on in the show. Taryn, so was it a little bit of a swerve here with everything going on with the live feeds? When did this become common knowledge about what they were doing with the 2-hour episode tomorrow?
So they closed the backyard down on Sunday, shortly after the veto competition took place. And as soon as that happened, we started to speculate that they started to speculate in the House that it might be an early eviction, early surprise, early eviction. And that's when we started to think, oh, well, what if it's pre-taped? What if they pre-tape the double eviction? And that's how they have enough footage prior to Friday, because there's going to be an episode on Friday to air a whole episode on Friday. So we started to speculate that that might be a possibility. And then, lo and behold, the feeds go down. I do think that that is what's happening here, that they probably have filmed now the whole double eviction at this point, and are probably doing the following HOH competition, you know, soon. And then we're going to get all of that tomorrow night, and then probably the following stuff on Friday.
Yeah, I had a terrible thought today that I said, what if Tiffany managed to change the vote and stayed and then got taken out in the double eviction? That would really be, and we'd have no idea until tomorrow. It'd be really terrible.
What a roller coaster that would be.
I mean, it would be like a real roller coaster 2 hours. It'd be like watching a Met game, Brian.
Yeah. And would not only you think you tie the game in the ninth and boom, she's out anyway. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Or
like that Cowboys game from Thursday.
Or Giants game, or anyone that were watching.
Yes. So we'll see what happens on Thursday. Of course, the Emmys are going to be on CBS on Sunday night. So no Sunday night episodes. So another programming note, 2 hour episode on Thursday will be live at 10:15 p.m. Eastern, and then we will be live as well on Friday night at 9:15 with coverage of the Friday night episode, no Sunday night episode. And also, Sam, make a note with Mike Bloom for the slop on Monday that we should do the BB Emmys on Monday and come up with all of the BB Emmy categories for BB23. All right, let's talk BB 23 from tonight. If we have to. Asia, what's with Big D tonight? What is this new horrible character that we've invented?
I am
huge
so
D,
over
if
it.
If you ask me.
I'm so over it. He is the absolute worst. And I literally did not crack any type of smile. There was no positive emotion on my face anytime he was on the screen. It's not funny. It's not cute. He's so annoying that it's as if production thinks we enjoy this. The fact that he was the one to talk through every single comic, he's not the one I want to see. Mm-hmm. He's not giving what he's supposed to give. He's not the fun, bubbly guy we thought he was. And it's not just because he wants Tiffany out. It's just who he is as a person has just become just amplified this week with only the cookout in the house. And it's been atrocious. So I did not enjoy this villain we saw that he thought was so funny on the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think the problem is they're still living off his $100 BB, but they think he's still the fan favorite. They're like, oh, give me all the Derek F. And now it's like, not with this Derek F. I think if they ran the BB box again, he's getting 50
They know
bucks.
The scores.
Do they? I don't know. They seem out of touch a lot of the times. Do they know?
They have no idea what's going on in the IT department. They just are given the numbers, mm-hmm. and then it goes.
Yeah. Karen, what's the disconnect here?
I genuinely think that they feel like he is the most fun character left in the game. I mean, what does Xavier give you in the diary room? I think
he's
that
like
Xavier
deadpan.
Can be great in the diary room, but I think he's had the fun sucked out of him. Kyland, all of Kyland's diary rooms have been. So this is really hard for me this week.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
It's going to be. And then, you know, Tiffany is on her way out the door at this point. So she's giving that content for you. You're getting some snark from Hannah. But in terms of like Big D's giving them the he has the cape behind him.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to laugh at them.
Yeah.
Like he is giving the theatrical performance that they really like.
You know what he is? That he is this season's, like he is the JC of the person who, that like the producer in the diary room, like, hey, try this one, try this. And he is the person like, okay, sure. I'll give it to you. And just is like the person who is like giving them whatever they want in the diary room.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and to his head, he thinks everyone loves it. I mean, he was getting those $100. He thinks he's the fan favorite. Everything I do is golden. The fans are going to eat everything I do up. So I'm just going to keep playing it up. And he can't get the reality check now until after he leaves the house at this point. But he still thinks he's going to walk out thinking, I'm going to win America's favorite player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even Xavier said he's like the JC. And Xavier doesn't even know what he's like in the diary room. So he's like the JC in more ways than one.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's ideal.
No, not a good spot to be.
No,
never.
No. I mean, it seemed like that the biggest storyline they were trying to push tonight was like, could Kylan take Hannah off the block with the veto, Taryn?
Yeah, that's when my eyes start to droop because I'm just like, not happening. And for me, it's like, I genuinely feel like this is a mistake because I get it. I get that they do this all the time. They like to be like, oh, but maybe, but you know, a season like this, you have to look at the history of the season, and the history of the season in the edit so far has been, maybe they're going to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. But maybe this time, nope. Of course not. But what about this time? Nope. How could you think so? But what about this time? And mm-hmm. it's just like, oh my God. At this point, surely not even the casual audience is fooled by this. And we're just really just spinning our wheels.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking from the more casual perspective, I was very much not fooled by it. I was waiting. I was like, this is really the best that they could come up with that. They could put Big D up. And like, yeah. It was the most obvious. Like, obviously, this would backfire. So, I mean, I guess they got him to say it once. And like that one moment they're talking to Xavier, like, oh, let's make sure we include that in the episode so at least there's some doubt to it. But you know, I mean,
it just highlights that nothing is happening. Yeah. Right, like if you focus on maybe something will happen, you're highlighting the fact that nothing ends up happening. Even if you do fool the audience into thinking maybe something will happen this time, maybe the football will be there, when it's not, they're gonna be like, I can't believe they screwed us again. Mm-hmm. it's you can only do that so much. Instead, let's not have a football and let's focus on something else because there's other stuff we could look at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like the only time this was enjoyable was if you were actually watching feeds and you had in your all these live feeders who had like an ounce of hope, including me, where you're like in the conversation. Within a conversation, it seems like their wheels are turning. It seems like Kylan's going to make a different decision. And then as soon as the conversation's over, he's like, no, I'm going to keep things the same. So it's like watching it on the episode play out this way. It's like, obviously, if you're painting this picture this way, there's no shock value if it does happen. So there's no way it's going to actually happen. So I would have preferred to, how about a cooking session with Azza? Have her explain something she's cooking. I would have really liked that.
Yeah,
I would have preferred just an hour-long tribute to Tiffany. Like, you know, we're going to lose all, speaking of the confessionals, we're going to lose all of her confessionals come Thursday. Yeah. Like, just give her like an hour-long of all the confessionals that, missed the cutting room floor and just put them on this episode.
Get everybody sitting around the kitchen table like, hey, guys, remember the time that Tiffany impersonated Frenchie doing the nominations? Mm-hmm. Like, remember that? And we just, like, show all her clips.
Yeah, make all the comics Tiffany, just all variations of her. Just have that be the episode.
Wow.
Right. They're not afraid to say someone's going home. Like, oh, will Brent be blindsided tomorrow? Or will he, they've said this season, the writing has been on the wall for multiple people and they haven't tried to disguise that. So let's just do it for Tiffany. And yeah, like you said, Brian, that would have been wonderful.
So, Asia, tonight was, I feel like, the first night that we got like really like the it's the men versus the women in the house. And of course, this is like a much more sanitized version of that story for the TV audience. But we really get a lot of Big D and Xavier sort of like conspiring.
Yeah, the dudes, as the announcer called them. Mm-hmm. It's like these Xavier Big D talks were intolerable this week. It's just like this season we traded out racism for misogyny. It's like, it's always one issue. Like if you solve for one issue, in any aspect of the world. You saw for one, there's always going to be another. And so it's just like, we constantly see this in seasons of Big Brother, of the men trying to take over, the men doing an all men alliance and taking the women out or whatever. So it's just like, it sucks. And it's so disappointing to see once again, but it's like, should we be surprised? Like, this is the 23rd season. Like, it happened. It's like, okay, yeah, we got one really nice thing this season, but this part, we shouldn't be surprised.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Taryn, lots of great points about this from the Roundtable podcast from last night. You and Melissa and Jacob really did a great job of running through everything that's going on in the house this week. How much of this, like the men versus the women, was sort of like, could the women have seen this coming at all when they got to the six? Like, was there any sort of clues that this was going to happen, or did this sort of just pop up here?
I mean, it did pop up very recently, and it was kind of the spark was Tiffany winning that HOH, because prior to that, Xavier had been gunning for Kyland for like a month. At the final six. And it wasn't until Tiffany, I mean, it beat Kyland in that HOH that he changed his tune to, no, Tiffany just lost herself $750,000. And so that's when it really, really took shape. But it is something that, that Tiffany was aware of that week at the very least. And it's something that she's been aware of for a long time. That she knew that she was not taking her optimal path to the end, and that she was going to have a more difficult time to get to the end with this path. By the time she was sending Claire out, she knew very well that she was likely going to be following Claire out the door very shortly.
Is Azza actually conflicted about which way she wants to go, or is she firmly with the Big D and Xavier side of things?
She is firmly with the Big D and Xavier side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's because of and I don't want to get in. Well, it's not really spoiler territory, but it's like it's because of how she feels about Hannah, which I can't explain. I don't know what it is, but it's as if her and Hannah cannot just get on the same page, because her and Tiffany, sister relationship, they're good. They may fight,
yeah,
but they are in sync when it comes to just having a functioning relationship that has its good, its ups and its downs. But no matter how many ups Azza has with Hannah, like, she just doesn't like her for some reason.
Yeah, Asia, did they ever get on the same page? Because I remember earlier in the season that Azza was the one holdout of like, wait, it's, you know, the 5+1. Hannah's not, don't tell her about the cookout.
No, right? It was just a matter of like, okay, well, I guess I got to accept it that she's part of the six. And then it was even Azza has joked recently, like, I forgot she was, I mean, I think that was on the episode where she's like, I even forgot she was a part of my alliance the first couple of weeks. And so she's never left that, I guess, that train of thought.
At this point, is it clear who Azza would side with, Big D or Xavier, if it came down between the two with a middle school crush take over, or is the team a lot like going back to their team? Is that going to take over?
I think at this time it would probably be Big D. But first of all, she's likely never going to be in that position. And second, by the time it ever did happen, if it did happen, Big D might have, you know, pissed her off so much because he's kind of been doing that lately that she might go another way. But I think right now she would side with Big D.
Okay. So we got to see some Tiffany camera talk. This was nice that she tells us how she's going to do it for Christian. Brian, that was her son's birthday. We heard lots of shout outs to Christian on the Thursday night episode. She's going to win that veto for Christian.
Yeah, not the best effort in the veto, unfortunately, with her life on the line.
She got close.
Missed it by a smidge.
Yeah.
It was that close. Such a bummer for her to go out that way. Cause I mean, obviously for her, like by far the top strategic player of the season, and to see her not even gonna be a factor in like the true end game, it just feels such a bummer for the how she shaped this whole season and put together the cookout, and for her to get clipped like this. It's such a bummer, and it's just so frustrating because you kind of see it coming for the last like few weeks that she's going to be in this position where she was going to need to have either Xavier or Kylan on her side because the likelihood of them winning a comp. And it's just such a bummer that it's ending like this for her.
Yeah, it struck me watching this episode and seeing Tiffany's camera talk that we've seen a lot of this during the season, that we've seen a lot of different camera talks on the episodes. And it made me realize that, why, if you want, you know, house guests expressing their thoughts to the camera, that they don't want anyone else to hear, almost like the camera is their own personal diary. It's almost like you have a whole thing that you can use for that kind of content. But instead they're forced to give their thoughts in the house to the live feed cameras, because there is no room for them to actually speak their own thoughts in the diary room. But clearly you think this is valuable content. Maybe you should take a hint. Maybe.
So you're saying you'd like to see them let the house guests go into the diary room and just like be able to just say whatever they want to say, speak their mind.
Yeah, I've got something to say. That used to be how it was. I've got thoughts. I need to go to the diary room and express these thoughts.
Yeah.
We've gone so far that they've been like, nah, we don't want that. So then they start talking to the cameras and they're like, ah, no, that actually exists. We do need to include this.
Yeah. Yeah, Brian, that's like old school Real World house.
It really is. But of course they're not going to do it because then they can't have the producers feeding them questions and answers and guiding the conversation. So unless they want to have it with no producer, which obviously would be better and we can watch it live. But yeah, I mean, that would bring it back to early 2000s reality TV. Yeah. I'm signing up for that.
I hope that Tiffany doing this and it making the episode is like a trendsetter. Cause like usually past seasons, we might see people in that like little room that they took away by the bathroom. And then like in Cliff's case, getting caught. But in the way that Tiffany has done it consistently throughout the season, making sure things are like the coast is clear doing it. I'm hoping future seasons, more people do this and not just these like super fans of the show, but more people, they'll have watched recent seasons and they can do this. So then we start to see more of people's true thoughts. And it's not like all the people leave the room and someone's left alone. And then they just sit in their thoughts when we want to know what they're thinking.
I hope so too. Yeah. But I just think that Tiffany is a little bit, it's like, she's such a juggernaut of like, I just think that she's like such like a once in a decade type person to have on the show. I just don't know how many other people could do what she's able to do.
Well, that's kind of my point though, because Tiffany is somebody that will give us these thoughts and she will talk to the cameras, and she can do it on her own in a great way. She doesn't need to be guided in any way. She doesn't need to be more coherent, guided to be more coherent or anything like that. But like for me, it's like, think about all of the people who never even thought to talk to the cameras. Somebody like Vanessa, who never spoke to the cameras in a meaningful way.
She's going to write a book,
decipher, yeah, decipher from her, candy and stuff like that. Think about all of the great stuff we've gotten from Tiffany talking to the cameras that we have missed out on from previous seasons who never thought to talk to the cameras. All of that content just into the ether, just gone.
Yeah.
Because there's no other outlet for them and they didn't know to speak to the cameras. Hopefully, as you guys said, that the people talk to the cameras a bit more now,
right,
with this being kind of the precedent. But still, I just feel like they're leaving so much on the table.
And
here,
worst case scenario, Asia, we're going to get some really great Instagram lives.
Right. Exactly. I would watch. I'm not, an avid Instagram live watcher, but if Tiffany's on Instagram live, I would for sure watch. But I'm also thinking about, more people doing this in the future. I can't see this season, with as great as it has been, being like one of the two seasons they're given when they are taken away, because they're not going to want this to happen again. So it's going to be like, here's season 16 and here's season 20. Go enjoy.
Yeah. That's an interesting point about, you know, that I feel like that this season was such a milestone season that I think that you would, you certainly would want to, like, with a future cast, have them see the season. But you, like does production not, like, would they not want this to happen again? And that's a very interesting question of what they would do. I just don't know what else would they show them?
22.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think they would still show them. I don't know. I get the sense they would want to show them this season. I feel like this season, I mean, I think it's been received pretty well for the most part, that I think they would want to highlight this for future players, just to show. I mean, it's still been unique gameplay about how people come, you know, come different strategies and things like that. So I think they would want this one to be highlighted and can focus on people talking to the camera and things like that. So I think this would be shown to the next season, you know, when they're in Sequester.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would hope.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting that I think that maybe it's sort of like show them the season, but it's also like here's also like a cautionary tale of what happened to Tiffany, where you know, she went to the end with these other players, and then ultimately it didn't end up winning the game.
Yeah, so maybe it could push the strategic players not to be more cutthroat. Like, you know, if you go on a more heroic journey, this is unfortunately what could be able to happen to you. But if you're more cutthroat in your, post-story phase, it could really help your game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think that there's a series of podcasts that you can be done in the off season. Once we get through this, how the cookout changed Big Brother for the future. Like, I think it's like such an important season of the show moving forward, especially
now, just Big Brother. I mean, I'm curious to see how it impacts Survivor and other seasons, especially with the diversity push that it's going to happen all across these different shows. It's very curious to see how it impacts everything.
Well, the interesting thing about Survivor is that Survivor has filmed two seasons before this season of Big Brother happened. So you might not see the effects of we have no idea what happened in the next two seasons of Survivor. And then if there are if there is an impact from the cookout, we won't see that until Survivor 43.
Right. Or they just have the same kind of unique thought going into that season that cookout had.
And
here,
Survivor has its own, share of many issues that go on, including not having a woman winner in, the last 4 years of the show. And so as a whole, other series of podcasts that can be done.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
This episode is made possible by PwC. When unprecedented times are all the time, it's time to start walking the talk. Leaders like you turn to PwC to see and stay ahead. Upskill your workforce, use intelligent automation, and transform big ideas into breakthrough outcomes. Explore the human-led, tech-powered solutions that help you thrive. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at thenewequation.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Should we talk some BB Comics?
Let's do it.
Yes. All right. Let's bring in some BB Comics. Should we bring up the visuals and talk them through? Because I don't know how much there is to talk about the competition.
Please.
Yes.
All right. Here we go. Let's look at them and see how they did. All right. Here we go. Let's talk about Azza here. The Wizard of Azza. And let's see what this says. She is a real spell raiser. By the way, we grabbed these from the Entertainment Weekly article. Dalton Ross got early access to these, and we grabbed these for the visual aid here on the podcast tonight. So thanks to Dalton Ross for the great work here. The Wizard of Oz.
Honestly, this is almost my favorite one in terms of it being the most flattering to her. I think she looks great. They were spot on with her hair. She looks beautiful, legs for days. So I really like this one. Was it relevant? No. I think maybe two of the 16 were.
Mm. Yeah, I don't have a lot of complaints about the visuals, but I definitely have a lot of complaints about the creativity of the concepts. The Wizard of Oz is the first of many of these comics that are purely just puns on the person's name and have no other relevance to who they are as a person, who they are as a player, their experience in the house, or anything. Literally just a pun on the name. The Wizard of Oz. Get it?
Yeah. And the only thing I'll say is Oz was happy with her comic.
I love my comic. My boobs look great. I really like my boobs. Okay.
I was stunned they didn't bring the middle school crush into a comic. They almost should just combine the comics and Zingbot into like one giant thing. I think that's almost the step they need to take.
Is she the middle school crusher?
Yeah, something like
that. Oh, that Rob, yes. That would have been so much better.
That's not that great. That's not that great. Okay.
It's better than Wizard of Oz.
Better. The bar is on the floor.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. I think another thing that kind of killed it for these comics, which I saw a little bit of this on Twitter, was that we had seen them already on Twitter. Anybody who's on Twitter, on BB Twitter, has seen them. So like the episode dragging on and on about them was not entertaining because we had seen them already. Yeah. So I think
you didn't like the, you see, audience, in this one, Azza has her dress is billowing out. And in this one, it's not.
Mm-hmm. Of all things that Big Brother needs, like that is, it's like torturous. Like that is a form of torture to hear people go over and over. Oh, there's a hat in this one and a cape in this one. Oh, but then I pressed the button. I was wrong. Oh, but then I noticed it's torturous.
Asia, you think Azza could cast a spell at this point in the season?
Absolutely not. Mm. I think it comes down to these comics are in two categories. The first category is they could have made it on day one, knowing the person's name.
Yep.
Second category is, okay, it could have been made at this point in time. So this is definitely first category.
Very few of those that made the cut.
Right. Okay. Let's go to the next one. What do we got here? Okay. Oh, this is I actually thought that this one's probably the best. Big Z. The Perfect Snorm.
Yes, this fell in the latter category where they actually took something that happened during the season and applied it to a comic. This was a very good one. Very well done.
And I think the strength of this one is probably accidental because I think what they're going for is, remember how fun and funny it is that Big D sleeps all the time? But like the reality is that those of us watching the show can interpret this in a way that's like, he also slept through the whole game.
Yeah.
Yes. And so like it's got that double meaning, but I don't know that they intended it that way.
Big Z. Right.
And the Jokers always get the last laugh.
Laughing at you, Big Z.
Something to point out as well is I saw on Twitter that because Melissa had quote tweeted it, was that the artists are told what to draw. And so because one of the artists got a tweet like, you know, why did you do this or whatever? And basically they're told what to draw. So we know who to blame.
Sounds like confessionals.
People are dragging the comic book artist.
Yeah. Their streets are tough for me. You never know where you're going to get it from.
Okay. All right. Let's take a look. All right. This is one of the worst ones. Let's talk about Oceana Hannah. And then check out this catchphrase here. She's serving up some hot clam chata. Excuse me while I go throw up.
How many takes did it get Hannah to even say, I like my comic?
Oh, and
even that, they put the one out.
Check
she
out this
low energy
canned line from the diary room.
I will serve up a bowl of hot clam chata any day. Get it? Because my last name's Chata and everyone in the house calls me that. Duh.
And that is the first explanation on the show we have gotten for Chata. Despite Chata being on the show and referenced on the show many times, I also love the juxtaposition of Hannah in the competition reacting to her comic. Oh, that's pretty good. Then straight to diary. I love my comic.
Mm-hmm.
Does Hannah even keep this? Like, does this get framed in her apartment, or is this get like right in the shredder?
No. Put it with Ica's letters.
Like, this literally, this could have been Hannah Banana would have been
would have been better, 100 times better. Oceana doesn't even rhyme with Hannah. It's like one syllable.
I mean, we're going to get there with Claire's, but
Claire Bear is the Mona Lisa compared to Oceana Hannah.
They could have done something with her, like, she did the splits during that one veto she won.
Oh, and that is Hannah Banana splits?
Oh,
my God, they're riding themselves.
Yes. It would have been amazing.
Yeah, okay.
But now Chata.
Yeah, okay. All right. The Kylander, kicking arse is his kilty pleasure.
This is literally the opposite of Kyle. The Kylander, it's there can only be one, and Kyland is literally all about, no, it has to be both of us. Like, it's like he doesn't want to be the only, he doesn't want to be the last one standing. He wants to bring the best there so he can lose to him. Mm-hmm. It is like, that is the thing about the Highlander, is that's the thing. And it's the complete opposite of what Kylan wants.
He also been pretty dirty with the face. He looks like one of those like weird Hall of Fame buses. They're like, who is that supposed to be? Mm-hmm. Pretty bad there.
Yeah. He looks like Scottie Pippen.
Yeah. Tiffany could call it there.
Yeah. Right. She's so right.
Yes. Tara, do you remember Scottie Pippen from The Circle season 2?
No. Yes, I do. That, yes. Yeah, he was in the. She recognized the photo. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
What a 2-year run for Scottie Pippen with the Last Dance, Circle here.
Mm-hmm.
That's some strong potential for Celebrity Big Brother 3. Yeah.
Brian, where did Scottie Pippen get shaded worse? Big Brother 23 or The Last Dance?
Oh, definitely The Last Dance. They did him bad there.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I just Googled Scottie Pippen. This is a good looking guy. These people are cruel. Mm-hmm. This guy's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Too bad they couldn't get in any of the Kai complaints.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or just do like, just shut the F up, Kylan. Just have that be his comment.
Right. Something about him talking. Like, I know it would have been repetitive from Zingbot, but the talker.
They should have just used the zings as their comics, built into them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the chatterbox.
Mm-hmm. I'm serving up some hot chatterbox.
Chatterbox.
Okay, all right. What else we got? Oh, Tiffy Toes. Toebots in disguise. What is that, the Transformers tagline?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know how that's relevant to that. I mean, I'll take this one. That is a nickname that she has in the house. It kind of makes sense as a superhero name. It's not relevant to her game, but it's not the worst thing in the world because there's at least some relevance here.
Mm-hmm. This poor guy, though, he seems kind of in. I don't know. What does he do? What's his crime that he's being attacked by the toes here? He's like running away.
Well, see, this is actually this is Sarah Beth in disguise.
Got it. There you go.
Okay. Tiffy toes. All right.
I'm sorry, y'all. I think
Explorer X marks the spot. And Xavier had to remind us. Yes, there's just like that competition that I won. Remember?
No,
I still don't remember. Which competition is he referring to? Because I still genuinely have no idea.
The dominoes.
He was wearing the same outfit.
The dominoes?
Yeah, they were wearing that.
Yeah, that's the one.
Single domino
See the path, Taryn, on the map that to get to the X that he got the dominoes to land on the X.
I think they really played him with this comic. His head, I know it's all like very much so like a caricature, but like if I think back to Oz's, she looked beautiful. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oz is like, you know what? Middle school crush over.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm moving
Why
on
did they do him like this?
Yeah. the explorer. Rough. So it is, okay.
That has to be my least favorite one. I mean, it's so bad, and it's so like
what
it just
could
has
they have
nothing
done
to do with him,
Xavier.
They should have made something to do with bartending and it being a little shady, because everyone already suspects that he's not really a bartender, and it would have been funny.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe
or they could have. Look, yeah. We're talking about the show that in season 21. They did Jack from season 21. His was the Jackass. Mm-hmm. Like they can go in on people when they want to.
Yeah.
And it was really funny watching Jack in the Jury House see his comic.
Yeah.
You can be a little, more creative.
Mm-hmm. Maybe work in like, this guy will never pass the bar.
Right.
Without going to work. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's see what else is there. Oh, Xavier, love this one. It was the Bikini Genie.
This is another one in the bucket of could have been done before the season even started.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Bikini Genie, three wishes, one ass kicking. Is that one of the wishes?
Can you wish not to get your ass?
I mean, let's be real. Xavier, he's a lawyer. He does have a great attention to detail. It's not that he was bad at this competition. It's that he spent 15 minutes of it chatting up this poster.
Yeah, that's what the problem was. Xavier's like, could I get this one at my house?
You got her two one. Of them, right? Can I take the wrong one with me?
Yeah.
I won't even show anybody else. It'll just be my little thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll keep it under the bed.
How are Xavier and Christian going to be friends after this?
I think they'll be fine. Christian doesn't strike me as somebody that would let that bother him at all.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I feel like the bigger issue is
Alyssa not
Alyssa.
Being interested.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, dude, chill.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably the more likely scenario is 2 months from now, Alyssa's not going to talk to either of them and they'll still be like on like Instagram lives together.
I feel like the girly girl made it pretty clear that she was not interested. I'd like to see that's clear.
Mm-hmm.
That could have been her comic.
Yeah.
The girly girl.
Or Christians.
All right. Yeah. What's next? Oh, here comes
poor Claire.
Claire Bear.
This is so mean.
She'll crush you with her bare hands. What did Claire do?
this
woman
is so
is
mean.
A child of God.
This between Sasquatch an and now Claire Bear. They have nothing. It's really Claire Bear. She's a bear. Oh, and look, she'll crush you with her bare hands.
Yes.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
They took all the nicknames. Like if you think about all the nicknames, Big D, X, Chada, Tippy Toes, Tiffany called Claire Bear all the time. They just took the nicknames.
I mean, everyone knew she was a secret HOH, right? So why couldn't they just do something with that? Like, I don't know. Some secretive there. Mm-hmm. There's other things.
Exactly.
This is so mean.
All of the cookout knows that they played her in that situation. Like everybody knows that she screwed up at this point. Do something about the coin of destiny. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Sarah Breath.
Oh my
She's
God.
Going cold school.
Takes your headphones off. I'm done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sarah Breath is the best they could come up with. The best part of this comic was Tiffany's response to it, which is she didn't talk to anyone but Kylan. I don't even know what her breath smells like.
Who knows what her
like.
Breath smells like.
Yeah, that was another moment where like, wow, Tiffany, we really, can't she just like be around for all the competitions just to narrate? Because we're really going to be like, oh, she was on point. That was a moment where I was like, I can't believe this competition is still going on. And then Tiffany really shot it back up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'd be different if they had shown, like, her mistakenly thinking Derek X said she was playing a cold AF game.
Yeah, and it didn't show that.
Because it's not a reference. It was an accidental reference.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What else we got here? The Denialator. Justice won't be denied. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
This was good.
Yeah, this is Brittany's best moment on the show. To reference that, it makes a little sense. You know, the Denialator.
Yeah.
Not the best name in the world, yeah. But like, and at least it references something that is relevant and meaningful.
Yeah. Thank God she got this, because that if it wasn't for this competition, we were getting like the mad rapper.
or her being on the block a lot, like one of those. Yeah, this is a lot better.
The block star. Yeah, I think that she's, I honestly cannot wait for her to see this, because she's going to be so excited.
I think her and Aza have to be the two happiest with this.
Yeah, she'll be very excited.
Heck yeah, man. Ooh, okay, cool.
Okay. All right. Flip tonight. Here's Christian.
Yeah, remember that one time he did
flips? Burpees.
It's not bad. I feel like they could have more focused on his, you know, being one of the best competitions players they've ever had. Maybe give him a little more credit than just doing flips. Yeah.
What does it say? When he's not something out, he's flipping.
When he's
out?
Not making out.
Making out. Okay, that's the best part of this comic.
I mean, I think maybe what they were going for here, if I'm going to give them a little bit of credit, is that like doing the backflips, making himself into such a big target was his kryptonite in the game. But
that's very generous.
You know,
but here it's his superpower. So it's like the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Lord of the Latrine. I mean, this was a slam dunk on a tour of duty. I missed that part.
Was that one of the best punishments Big Brother's ever done? Because I still think about that and laugh, even like to this day, of how funny they pulled that one off. That was unbelievable.
Yeah. All right.
It's a good one.
Lord
yeah,
of the
he made it enjoyable to watch. Yeah. I think he was such a good sport.
Yeah. Yeah. Glamour Slammer. She'll powder your nose, then break it.
Yeah, this is one of those, like, it wasn't a pun on her name, but it could have been done
day one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Makeup by Wit. That's been her Instagram since before she went into the house. So,
as Derek pointed out, at least they gave her that the workout top.
Yeah, and of course, Big D cannot pass up an opportunity to comment on what she's wearing in a comic.
It's a joker.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. Who's coming home with that comic? All right. The Fright Attendant. Estimated time of departure now.
It's not bad. It's actually a pretty decent one.
Mm-hmm.
Was Brent a flight attendant? I'm not sure. Yes. I don't think we covered that on the episode.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's literally all they had for his entire run on the show. So it's not surprising to me at all that this is all they had for the comic either. Mm. And I care less about these like early boots that like they didn't have that much of a splash, but like, he was like so oblivious. He was like historically oblivious in the week that he went home. And I really feel like he might have been able to do something with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All right. What else we got? Mr. French, the spy who fried me.
His actual name.
I mean, this would have been last on the list. And they're like, what can we do? I don't know. Just his first name. Just go.
Frenchie has like the most potential for a comic. Between his name and his behavior in the house, I mean, talk about like a man who thought he was a superhero to you know, minorities and women. Like we could have done so much here, but we have the spy who fried me.
Mm-hmm.
Shoots out French fries.
His literal name is Brandon French.
Mm-hmm.
Mister, that's like, yeah.
Yeah,
my comic, Mr. Colin, coming at you.
Right.
I mean, this that was awful, Mr. French.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I feel like that, you know, get 5 minutes on Google. I'm sure you can come up with like 100 better comics than Mr. French.
5 minutes watching his HOH, you could come up with something better.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Then another bomb is Cowabunga, a hero like no other. Why is he a cow? Where did the cow come from?
This is so lazy that they couldn't even do a pun on Travis. They needed to do a pun on the name that they came up with for Travis, which was Cowabunga, because he, I guess,
surfs.
Except his whole thing was that he was actually like a startup guy from like Texas, and not like a surfer bro nearly as much as you might have assumed. But nah, it's Cowabunga, which then turns into cow, because get it? Because Cowabunga. So now he's going to be half of a cow when he was merely a surfer to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that the last one?
This is it.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Boy, is it time to hang up the BB Comics?
It's honestly
time to outsource it.
They finished. Hannah finished the competition, and she was like, I just competed in BB Comics. Like, this is so exciting. Yeah. And I was just like,
in fairness, this is the same woman that said that meeting the Zingbot was, she felt like she, it was the same as meeting Barack Obama.
It's true, but I really do feel like, is it even that big of a deal when it's this bad? Like, like, is it that, you know, like maybe we should, if this is the level of quality that we're going to get out of it, then maybe it is time to hang, because they again can't even edit it properly to make it exciting. Instead they're just going to be like, it's not justice will be served, or sorry, it is justice will be served instead of she will not be, you know, whatever. Justice versus
the culmination of BB Comics week. We've expanded BB Comics.
Right. This is the Sharknado of Shark Week now. It all builds up to this.
Yeah.
It's just like Zingbot. The beginning of the season, they need to say, it's time for America's vote. You know, like throughout the season, text 97979 to give us recommendations for BB Comics. You know what's coming.
Right. Right. You know, like, put out a tweet in the beginning of the season. Like, what are your suggestions? Crowdsource the comics. Right. Crowdsource the zings.
I do like that the competition exists. I wish that they would get better. Yeah. It's a great concept for a competition. The comics are awesome. An awesome idea. The competition is a great alternative to the typical athletic kind of competition. Yeah. I mean, Xavier sucks at these. And the fact that Xavier sucks at these. Yeah, exactly. Like, that's great. Like, that Big D can come in second place in a competition is great. That's more of those kinds of competitions should exist, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah. They've like, just been phoning it in. Like, they just need to, you know, go back to the drawing board.
I don't know. Like, put Brian Scally on spec, and I'm telling you, turn these, these competitions, turn them all around. All right.
They have so much potential.
Like, and they can't make him go one at a time, each having their same amount of time for each segment. Like, that's like, make him go all at the same time, or they got to change something. Like, I can't, you know, every single time with them going over each difference was something else.
Mm-hmm. And why is it always on a giant laptop? Like, oh, nerds like comics, right?
Yeah.
Like, they would look on a giant laptop. Peer in the window like some peeping Tom in the comic book store on a zip line.
It's weird that it's not like an easel.
All right. Big D was close. Kylan got it, but Big D was right there to the point where we should start talking about Big D coming in second in these competitions.
I'm very proud of myself for getting second place two times in a row, the veto comp and the HOH comp, but I'm a little bit nervous because I don't want people to start seeing me as a threat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to look at him who's gotten second in the last two comps over the people who've won multiple comps. Mm-hmm.
He better take his foot off the gas because...
I think second place could also be a, you know, looking ahead for where he might end up finishing this game too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, second place could be his spot.
I know Big D. I hear him talk about this on the feeds. I hear him talk all the time on the feeds. I was still waiting for him to, like, give a I'm being sarcastic smile that I would give if I were saying something like that. No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wonder that he went goes right into the next thing, which is like an unrelated topic. I wonder if maybe that he did. Is it possible, Taryn, that they cut him off?
No, he talked to Xavier about this. He,
yeah. Okay.
Well, then I guess.
All right. So. We had Kylan is going to win the HOH. It was a nice moment when they took the picture in the superhero costume.
Yeah.
Yeah. It. I couldn't really enjoy it because I saw the veto on Kylan's neck when it was happening live. So I was like, okay. But I know it was a very cute moment. But I don't want to sleep on Hannah's performance in this comp. First thing, she just took a little bit too long. So that was impressive. Mm-hmm. It was right up her alley, and I liked her method of going across very slow, because why give it a running start and go all fast when you couldn't see everything? So she had the right technique. It was just she took too long.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't really matter here, but did they ever take notice as to, like, who's the last one, whose time is revealed? Because obviously for the TV, they're trying to set it up like, oh, is this person going to win? Is that ever talked about? Like, oh, they were actually setting up for this person potentially when maybe they are the swing vote here.
Yeah, I mean, Big D in the diary room is like, oh, I'm thinking I might win this. On the feeds, he said, I knew when I was revealed first, I didn't win.
Mm-hmm.
They know in when it's revealed that tends to say a lot about your actual position.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Kylan and Xavier talk for a while, and maybe we should pull down Chada. Maybe we should put Big D on the block.
Maybe this time it'll happen. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very difficult decision. They definitely very strongly contemplated it, right?
We're going to have to think about this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Taryn, was there any benefit in potentially doing this?
No.
No. Okay. How about Tiffany? Tiffany has the last ditch effort to try to get Kylan to save her. She says, you go wherever I go. I'll back up my words with actions. Only you can save me.
He might as well have had his hands over his ears while she was talking, because nothing is going to change his mind about how he feels that she is a liar and she has, she stopped trusting him. And once Kylan believes that and he is justified in his mind, literally nothing can change that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I said this when I was streaming watching the episode. Kylan listening to Tiffany was me watching the episode, just like kind of nodding off a little bit. And at one point, I was hoping that they would include this in the episode. At one point, she literally asks him, "Are you falling asleep?"
Mm-hmm.
No. I'm listening.
Mm-hmm.
So is there a play for, like, what was there any play for Tiff there to Kylan? Is there any way to break through in some regard to the swing vote?
The play would have been to say, listen, Kylan, Xavier's not actually very good at the game. I'm the one that's been convincing people to say that he's good at the game because I've been trying to convince everybody that he's a threat that everybody needs to take out. But I am the one who knocks. I am the threat in this game. And if you don't take me to the end, you will be seen as a joke for taking the wrong player to the end, thinking that you're going to lose to the best player. And instead, you're going to lose to, at best, the second best player in the game. Mm-hmm. So think about that.
Darn.
Right. All right. We get the VO ceremony, nothing happens. Okay. All right.
I was kind of sad that they didn't show the speeches this time, because apparently Tiffany had a really good speech. Mm-hmm. And I know they haven't been showing it all season long, but if they had cut the veto comp, 2 minutes shorter, we could have saw the speeches.
Mm-hmm. Or just cut the hugs after and all the confessionals. Cut that and just let's again, mm-hmm. whole hour should have just been Tiffany. So don't be cutting Tiffany when she's actually, you know, delivering the goods here.
Okay. Anything else to say about this episode of Big Brother before we, I don't know how much spoilers there is to bring in.
Just a little bit.
Okay. All right. So anything else to say about the episode before we bring in the spoilers? All right. With that in mind. All right. If you're leaving us now, come on. Hey, stick around. you know, don't be so precious. All right.
Well, the spoilers that we do have come from, there was a leak on the feeds today.
Oh, okay.
They are a little bit extra spoilery, potentially. I mean, it's not a lot of information, but it does come from some leaks.
Okay. All right. So we will talk about leaked feeds and more when we do our BB23 spoilers.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know It Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an action
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Congratulations, because you're doing amazing, sweetie.
Okay. All right. Spoilers. Taryn, how close to the eviction did the feeds go down?
It's hard to know. Once the feeds went down, we don't know when they did the eviction necessarily. Yeah. The feeds went down early in the morning, right around the time that the live feed updates started this morning. And
they timed it.
And just to give you guys a heads up, there's no spoilers for the actual double eviction results. Just some things that imply who was evicted in the first part, or at least will be evicted. And then we know one of the competitions for the double eviction. So that's what we have from the leak. So while the feeds were down, while they were down with the animals up on the screen, all of a sudden the audio changed to like actual music and house guests talking and singing to the music. There was a producer talking with the house guests, explaining the competition and how, even if you, are mathematically out of the competition, you should continue to answer the questions, stuff like
Aza.
That. Aza wasn't even out of it. She just got one wrong. So they talked through that, and then they did a run through a sort of rehearsal. Production did of the competition, which is the veto competition for the double eviction, which is what the bleep. And so they ran through all the questions and they used questions from Big Brother 18 as the example questions. They ran through that. And so during the rehearsal, Tiffany was not a name that the five people in the rehearsal were Hannah, Big D, Xavier, Aza, and Kylan. Mm-hmm. And Tiffany was not a part of that rehearsal. Her name was not a part of it. She wasn't like a character used. So they could have been just like, because Tiffany's probably out, this will be what happens. Or I think probably more likely they just straight up, she's gone already.
Is an elaborate leak to really get everybody very excited when she pulls off a miracle tomorrow night.
Right. I think the loopiness of the 7-hour podcast.
Let me live. Let me dream.
That's about what we have. What the bleep? Very crapshooty kind of competition.
JC won an HOH on it.
Yes, genuinely, this is probably worse for Hannah and her chances of winning this veto than other things would be. Now, if it was an athletic competition, that would be worse. But other kinds of competitions where she has essentially a 1 in 3 chance rather than a 1 in 5 chance would probably be better. But we'll see. I mean, you know, she can potentially get the HOH competition as well if she's, wants to, but, or if she is able to. But if she doesn't win either the HOH or the veto, it is looking like Hannah's going to be going home.
Mm-hmm. I kind of disagree. Not that Hannah might be going home, but that what the bleep is crapshooty. I know it is crapshooty, but the fact that Hannah is, she remembers everything. I think even if it's a random conversation, she'll remember, no, he worded it like this rather than like this. That could very well, I know I'm very hopeful. Mm-hmm. So that's a piece of me there for sure. But I do, if of anything, it's not rolling a ball.
It's true.
So she could remember.
Well, if JC won, then that means Big D's going to win, right? Because they're the same. So there you go.
No. Okay.
Manifest that, I'm sorry.
Right. And that, hypothetically, if Azza won an HOH, what would she do with nominations?
Hannah and...
Kylan.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, with the intention of sending Hannah out. Mm-hmm. Anybody other than Hannah winning a competition is sending Hannah out.
Well, that's not great either. Okay. All right. Anything else? Is there any good news?
Well, just another thing on that feed leak, it said like the production person playing Kylan won the comp, and then you had production say, should have been Hannah. So they're with us too.
But the production person said I should have been Hannah, or Hannah should have won the comp?
No, the person playing Kylan, they're like, congratulations, Kylan, you got it correct. And then it was like production like talking, and then one of them said, should have been Hannah. Wow. As if, like,
how long was this leak happening for before they realized?
There's going to be a class action lawsuit over this. I mean, that the production people were saying that they didn't want Kylan to win a competition.
They're real people, too. You know,
one star.
Wait, they are.
Yeah. Complaint to the FCC. Okay. Oh, this is wild.
Xavier can represent him in the case.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty wild. I mean, it's relatively unprecedented in recent times, at least. I think it speaks to the amount of interest left in the season that very few people are actually talking about it.
Mm-hmm. So people were just watching the feeds down and just happened to hear. Like, who would be watching the feeds when they're down? Like, what are they doing? They're just watching.
Waiting
the cast
to see if they can come back up.
I'm not going to lie. I do have the cats and dogs up for my dog because she has found a recent interest in seeing them. So yes, she looks at the screen and she might bark a little bit sometimes. And so it's nice little entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to that. They really picked Peter with the, they were like, oh my God, producers are talking. This is the greatest thing ever.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let's take some questions. Okay. How about this one? This is from Scammerin 427. If Hannah is able to evict Xavier in the double eviction, is there any chance that she survives the final 4 week without winning the HOH or the veto?
I actually think yes. I think there's a good chance that Kylan would evict Azza over her, because she at that point becomes theoretically the best player remaining apart from Kylan. And he has even said a couple points this week. I don't know if he still believes this, but that he has no intention of targeting Hannah moving forward. Obviously, he's not going to be able to win HOH in the double. So when I say everybody's going to target Hannah, Kylan theoretically wouldn't, but he's not competing. And so it is definitely possible that if she takes out Xavier, she could survive. Now, if Xavier is still there, if she wins and takes out Azza or Big D, which she might, considering her plans, then I think that Kylan would still, because Xavier is still in the game, feel comfortable taking her out at 4.
Okay.
So who would vote out Xavier in that spot? Like, would, like, if she nominated Xavier and Kylan, like, would Azza and Big D vote out Xavier in that spot?
Between Xavier and Kylan, I do think they would likely vote out Kylan. But Xavier and Big D, Azza would, I think, vote out Xavier, and then she could break the tie. She only needs one vote. And there's also, I mean, it's possible that Azza votes out Xavier over Kylan. She made a deal with Xavier or with Kylan that she would not vote him out in the following week. And she's been talking a lot about how she doesn't want to have to make that decision because she doesn't want to go against her word. And so, you know, there are scenarios where she gets Xavier out for sure, but she's not exactly maximizing her odds according to her plans to make that happen.
Okay, let's go to another question. The Big Brother Wiki, the great Big Brother Wiki, says, with the two-hour double eviction tomorrow, could we see one of the two evictees revived? We got 2 weeks left. Could we see a BB Can 9 fake double revived with a BB AU White Mirror Room twist? Tara, could you, I think we know the BB Can 9 version. Is the BB Australia. First, let's just talk it through. Is this a pipe dream that there is some sort of a buyback tomorrow?
I don't think it's a pipe dream, but I personally don't think it's going to happen. I feel like I've said this from the start. I feel like they'd advertise it. If there was going to be this kind of thing, the whole reason that they would do it is to get eyes on it and have people watch for that particular episode. And you do that by saying, and then it's going to be a fake double eviction and one of them is going to come right back in and all of that. And so
part of the Friday night episode?
I
tune in Friday night for somebody's getting back in the returns. House.
Yeah.
It's possible. As they pointed out in the chat, CBS has replied to tweets about it, which honestly to me only further, confirms to me that it's not happening. Because they're like, oh yeah, that might have been a good idea. Let's pretend like it's a possibility to get more eyes on it, but we can't actually say it is because it's not. I don't think it's going to happen, but it's not impossible. They do have the space for it, especially in a 2-hour episode with the follow-up the next day.
I recall, I feel like that the BB 19 battle backs happened on a Friday night.
There were battle backs that happened on Fridays for sure, but they were not this kind of thing where it happened, somewhat the same night. And then the white room from Big Brother Australia was, I guess that would be another way of doing a buyback with COVID, where they didn't actually leave the house. They just went into a hidden room and stayed there for the next elimination cycle. And then there was like a competition, so to speak, to get back in a little bit later. So it wouldn't be immediate, but it would be that they were like hanging out in a room, watching live feeds or something. Yeah.
Because let's be real. We saw this episode tonight. Do they have 3 hours of content from when the feeds went down at 11 a.m. today till whenever they lock the Friday night episode?
I mean,
we could get 30 minutes of jury.
Well, here's the thing.
We have to get Claire and Sarah Beth showing up at the jury and Alyssa.
With it being pre-taped, that means that they can stretch the competitions out in the way that they do on the episodes normally, which means we can get a 20-minute HOH competition after the eviction.
Oh, so
we're going
to get, I was worried.
We're going to get like, campaign segment. Followed by a live vote that's probably going to take up to like 20 to 30 minutes. And then a 20-minute HOH competition, followed by campaigning nominations, a 20-minute veto competition, followed by campaigning veto ceremony, followed by campaigning vote out. And honestly, I could see that being 2 hours.
Yeah. How about 10-minute interview with Tiffany? Can we do longer? Instead of doing like whatever they do on Instagram with like, oh, stay tuned to Instagram for our extended interview, maybe we can get like that whole thing in the episode.
That'd be great.
Yes. And I would love the first question to be, Tiffany, explain to us how you created the cookout. And then I also want to get a camera on Big D and Xavier when they watch that back.
All right. Let's get a long question here. Let's see. Elizabeth in Connecticut says, is it me or is Xavier less and less impressive each week since the meltdown regarding Tiffany, HOH number two, and his performance in BB Comics, which he appeared to be trying to win? I'm forgetting what all the fuss was about. P.S. Love you guys and all the pods this summer. The short version, is Xavier getting less and less impressive each week?
A little, but I feel like his chances to win just keep growing. So like, it doesn't even matter.
That's the paradox.
I'd actually say no. I'd actually say for me, he's getting more impressive. But at the same time, his previous game has been confirming to us more and more that he had no idea how he got here. Mm-hmm. But what he is doing while he is here has been effective and is working. So I think that this is the best game he has been playing all season long. And he keeps reminding us of how poorly he did previously in terms of knowing what was happening and actively getting himself there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think Xavier has been, I haven't been impressed with him. I thought that he was in a really good position with the Kings and he managed that well. But the fact that, you know, what you're saying, Taryn, the fact that we're realizing how lost he was up until this point is just like, okay, how good is he? If you put him in another season, and I know you're going to talk about that because we're probably going to get a situation where you have a long podcast about it leading up to the final three. But it's just like, what, you know, the fact that he can impressively throw comps, or, oh, he is good when he has an alliance around him. But I don't know. I'm not just mm-hmm. thrilled about him and his game.
All right. We'll see. Anything else BB23 for tonight? Well, we will have a lot to talk about tomorrow night. We'll be back with the recap of our 2-hour episode, and we will be live at 10:15 p.m. Eastern to talk about the ultimate fate of Tiffany in the game. Plus, whatever happens next, it'll be myself and Taryn, Kirsten McInnes, and Puya Zambakili live on Thursday night for the recap of the 2-hour special. We'll get down to just 4 house guests left with still 2 weeks to go in the BB house. Taryn, tomorrow, we got a live feed update coming.
Yes. I don't like to leave the people hanging.
No.
You know, not everyone, you know, watches the recap. Sometimes people are just listening to the updates. So I'll go live to let people know that the feeds were down and I'll explain what happened in the leak.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Yeah.
Got the transcripts of the production leak. We'll always do that.
Yeah, I got a tweet that said, let Taryn have a day off tomorrow. Like, if he wants a day off, he can have it. But Taryn doesn't want to leave you hanging.
Was that tweet from Taryn?
Like, no. Have you met Taryn? You think he's asking for a day off?
Yeah, you can't keep me from the updates. That's the.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Then, of course, I mentioned the roundtable from Tuesday night. Check out Taryn, Melissa, and Jacob Jones talking about everything from the Stockwatch. Check it out on the Roundtable podcast. This week, we had the great Lita Brillman join me on the Slop. She brought in some, we workshopped the comics. Lita workshopped the zings for this season. Plus, we talked about the Claire's extended exit interview with Julie Chen Moonves. We talked about Christian's upcoming appearance at a ice cream shop in Connecticut. And also, we took a look at what Kylan has been reviewing on Yelp on the latest edition of The Slop for the patrons of Rob's podcast. Very fun with Lita on Monday night. This Friday, we'll be back to talk about whoever our new HOH is and what the plans are for week 11 of Big Brother as Taryn and I take your calls. We had a great BB Q&A call-in show this past Friday. Looking forward to hearing from you then. We do that at 2 p.m. Eastern on Friday for the patrons of Rob's podcast. And then, I'm so excited to talk about last night. We went into the wee hours of the morning to talk about the number one best season of all time, Chappelle, Shannon Gus and me went the distance to talk about Survivor Heroes versus Villains. I think we did justice to the number one best season of all time as we closed out the top 40 countdown. Of course, Taryn, we had you three times with us along the way, including the 1 week I missed in these past 36 weeks. Asia, we talked about, two different seasons of Millennials versus Gen X and Game Changers. Brian, you were with us to talk about the Philippines. Cannot thank all of the people who watched these seasons with me along the way and everybody that joined us on the top 40 countdown. And I am very tired today, but it feels wonderful.
Great.
Nice people day. Are saying people are saying they want to recount and to do it all again next year.
So recount? Think, you could revote. You could revote. I don't know.
Hey Rob, great job with it. Like honestly, one of my really good friends, she actually went back and watched some seasons so that she could listen because she listens to your Big Brother content. And she's like, okay, well, this makes me want to go back and watch all the Survivor seasons.
Well, and I appreciate that, Asia. Thank you for sharing that with me. And if you go to robiswebsite.com/rankings, those are up on their own page on the website. Any of the seasons that you want to, you ever binge watch a season and want to go back to our coverage, robiswebsite.com/rankings. All right. Then let's see what else is coming up. Oh, we're talking Survivor 41, the B&B. There was just a Big Brother B&B, Mike and Liana, not Liana from Survivor. They are talking about Survivor 41 on the B&B preview. Always fun for that episode of the B&B. Then also, we have, The Circle is going to be coming back, and we will be having some fun on Saturday when myself, and Taryn, Kirsten, Jenny, and Geneva will get together to talk about another week in The Circle. Taryn, have you started the new Circle episodes?
I have not
yet. Beats are down, Taryn. What's going on? What are you doing all day? The best, no time like the present, Taryn. You got to
waiting for the production. Waiting for production.
To this while the feeds are down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm very excited to announce a brand new podcast that we just launched. The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City wrap-ups with two of the stars of the live feed updates, of course, Maggie Morgan and Jacob Jones. You've heard them all summer long with Taryn. They're together now wrapping the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. What does Plainview Sue think, Brian?
She's pissed. She didn't get the call. I was like, "This is it. This is your chance to join RHAP." She didn't make it.
Yeah. No, I'm really excited. Check out Maggie and Jacob in recapping the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, and then Asia. What's coming up on Married at First Sight? What's on there that the people are doing push-ups with goats on their back?
Yeah, you know, goat yoga. Heard it's all the it's all the rage. But you know, I'm not quite sure what happened on tonight's episode. But I know that my group chats are blowing up. Like y'all, let me know when you've seen this episode of Married at First Sight. So I can't wait to watch it as soon as we end. And then Amy and I will be talking about it. So that should be coming out in the next few days. But Married at First Sight, it's been good. Five couples met at the altar, got married, and then 8 weeks they figure out if they want to stay married or get divorced at the end of that. So very entertaining and a solid show. And you can listen to the podcast without watching the show. So come give us a listen.
Hey, check that out in the Rehab Ups feed. And then we have, Brian, the challenge is off to the races with Spies, Lies, and Allies.
Yep, rolls right off the tongue.
Yes.
Great brand.
What's going on this week? Are you with us?
You're not
watching the challenge.
I chose Big Brother because the challenge, for some reason, loves conflicting with all the other shows that they cast from. So I'll be watching right after this.
Okay, check it out right after this. Do you think we'll have any BB23 representation in the challenge sometime soon?
Oh, I think by next season. I could see Christian, maybe Xavier, Alyssa. I could see a few of them get the call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about Derek F?
Jokers always get the last laugh, so he'll be there.
Yeah.
Can't he'll wait get for second Frenchie. In every challenge.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, he does like to call out his arch nemesis. What was it?
Enemies.
Yeah.
Come on, Taryn.
Arch enemies.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Of course, had a great time today. Also, Chantel Francis joined me for this week's edition of the Survivor 41 Patron Q&A. Just one of the shows right now in our Patron podcast feed. I will be also live on Thursday for the Survivor Heroes versus Villains feedback show as well, answering more questions about Survivor Heroes versus Villains. I'll be live with on Friday for the patrons on the BB Q&A with Taryn. We got a Patron 5 for 5 coming up with the First Lady of Podcasting. So much stuff going on in our Patron podcast feed, plus access to our Patron community, all at robisawebsite.com/Patron. Check out all the offers from our sponsors. When you go to robisawebsite.com/offers, be sure to click subscribe on YouTube for the video versions of this podcast or in your favorite podcatcher, wherever you listen to podcasts, and follow us on social media to join in on the fun. That's Rob is a Podcast on Twitter or at RHAP Grams on Zingstagram. Okay. All right. Brian Cohen, so nice to have you here to talk some BB23.
So great. So it's a great episode, too, to join. A lot of stuff happening. A lot of fun.
Yes.
A lot
of fun. Brian, where can people keep up with you?
So, as you mentioned, the Challenge Podcast. Follow on there, and you can catch me on Twitter at Cohen with a C, Brian _.
Mm-hmm.
Catch me there.
Yeah. All right. Brian, great stuff tonight. Asia, how about for you? What's coming up in your world?
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia, so A-Y-S-H-A like A-S-I-A. That's where you can see all of my Married at First Sight content whenever the podcasts are released, and also whenever I'm going to be covering Big Brother 23 again. So go give me a follow.
Okay. Asia, great job tonight. And Taryn, what are you doing on a night with no feeds? What's going up for you?
Tonight?
Yeah.
Sleep.
Sleep. Okay, go to bed early.
Tomorrow night, it's going to be a lot of streaming on Twitch. I'll be talking through the Stockwatch options this week. I'll also be streaming during the 2-hour double eviction. I'll be watching with you guys. Come and join me. It is your
destiny.
we'll be hanging out after to talk about it here on the podcast as well. And you can also find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. I had a lot of fun tonight with this one. We'll be back after the double eviction, baby, on Thursday night. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.